If you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verse 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who thought he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Amen. Let's just ask God to speak to us and touch us right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy. God, we ask you to speak to every heart here tonight. Let your will be done. Anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Rob, if you could give me a little more monitor. I feel like I hear from that house out there or something. I don't know. I want to speak to you tonight. My King is a true servant. My King is a true servant. It was Palm Sunday, and Jesus come into Jerusalem, riding on a blazing white stallion and kicking up a cloud of dust, and rode along. He was followed by a fighting army, and they were there to free the Jewish people from the Roman nation. That is something that the Jewish people wanted to hear. But that's not what happened. Amen? That's what they were hoping for, but that's not what happened. Folks, there is no denying that there is a touch of glory in the entrance of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was welcomed as a hero. People had heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, even though he had been dead for more than 4 days. The news had spread about how he had healed people who were deathly sick, maybe to the point of death, or there was no healing of any kind of a medicine to help them. How he healed the blind eyes and they were able to see, and he touched the deaf ears to hear. And how he restored people to their families after they had been driven out from evil spirits. He was a hero. He showed mercy to the tax collectors, to the prostitutes. You see, the crowd was excited that this miracle-working teacher was coming to town. They waved palm branches, they spread their coats on the road, and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd welcomed him as they would a king. This was the man who came in the name of the Lord to intervene the sad circumstances of their lives and to give hope to their future. This was the man who would give them freedom from the Roman oppression, bring prosperity, and bring time of peace to their oppressed land. No wonder they cheered and paved the way with palm branches and clothing. In the eyes of the crowd, there was no doubt that Jesus was the promised king sent by God. But this king was different, folks. There was no white stallion. No show of power, no show of great strength from a military army. Instead, he rode a humble donkey, an animal used to cart things from one place to another. You see, as Jesus rode along, he didn't smile and give the royal wave to the people that were lining the streets. His heart was heavy. You see, Luke tells us that Jesus got closer to the city. As he got closer, the Bible says he wept. He knew that his enemies had begun to plot how they could get rid of him. He knew all too well that in a few days the crowd would not be shouting their praises for this new king, but they would be calling for, say, crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He wept because they wanted peace in their city, but could not see in Jesus the source of true peace. They could not see in Jesus the source of true peace, of forgiveness, and a restored relationship with God. They couldn't see those things, folks. Jesus wept with grief because he could see a time when Jerusalem would be nothing but a pile of rubble, and the people waving their palm branches would fall under the Roman sword. You see, this is no ordinary king that is riding through on this donkey. He has come to serve those people. He is a servant king. You see, on Good Friday, we see the love that caused Jesus to be burdened with the sin of all humanity. He gave up his life for us. You see, in this, it is in this context that we are confronted with Paul's words to the Philippian people. Paul speaks about Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. Paul presents Jesus in the contrasting picture of both king and servant. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You see, folks, we don't like to hear about this often, especially when Paul says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. It's hard for us to be a servant to others. But listen, folks, at the heart of Jesus, at the heart of his work was a humble, selfless desire to serve. He gave up all that he had and took the nature of a servant. He was humble and he walked the path of obedience all the way to death. Doesn't sound exciting. The Palm Sunday King did not want to dominate and lord over others. He wanted to serve others. He always considered the needs of others first. That's not easy to do. Sometimes we turn things off when we hear that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, folks, this is the king that you serve today. Amen. He always was considering the needs of other people first, even if that meant giving up his own life. If serving meant laying down his own life, then he would do it. Amen. This theme of service comes through powerfully during Jesus' whole ministry. Think about it, folks. Recall what happened at the Last Supper. You've heard of the Last Supper. Think about what happened there. The king, this king that came through, stood up, took off his coat, put a towel around his waist, and grabbed a pail of water and went to his disciples, washing their feet. You see, I thought of doing foot washing tonight, but I also thought of COVID. Just know this, I am sick and tired of COVID. But I'll get back to my speaking. I'll leave that there. But he got up and he washed their feet. That's a servant king I'm talking about. Amen? He's always considering the needs of others. Do you do that? Do you consider the needs of others? Sometimes it's frustrating. But that's what God wants from us. You see, we are so conditioned from a newborn, folks, that wants what they want. And God is saying, look, I want you to be like me. He came and was the perfect example. But so often we ignore that part about Jesus. We like to hear of the blessings. We like to hear of that, of the prayer that we talk about, how God is blessing and sending checks. We like to hear of all that stuff. But so often we don't want to be that servant. Your king is a servant. Aren't we to be like Jesus? Is he really your king? He's a servant. He came to serve. If serving meant laying down his own life, he did it. No one was prepared to wash the dust off the disciples' feet before beginning the meal. It was a custom in those days. They had a servant in the house, and you would get your feet washed because they wore the sandals and the roads were dusty. And here they are. They're gathering together in this room. Here is Jesus and all of his disciples, and nobody was willing to do that except Jesus. Now, I know if I went and talked to you tonight and Jesus was going to come to your house, you would do whatever it took to make him comfortable. And if it was like it was in those days and we had to wash his feet, you would have a basin waiting on you and waiting on him and a towel there. But we won't do what he asked and serve others. His disciples weren't willing to do it. If they weren't willing to do it, all those people that we were in awe of sometimes. Peter, he wrote the book of Peter. And Paul, no, Paul wasn't there. But sometimes we feel so inadequate compared to those people. But they weren't willing to wash his feet. He got up, put the towel around him, and washed their feet. Peter said, no, you're not washing my feet. He said, well, then if you don't let me wash, you won't be in heaven with me. Then wash all of me. But what does Jesus come? He's our example. He's a servant king. So Jesus, the master, ties the towel around his waist, grabbed the bowl of water and knelt before the disciples and began to wash their feet. The picture here is a true servant. Even though Jesus was the teacher, even though Jesus was the master, even the king, he didn't give a second thought to doing the lowliest and lowest of jobs. Washing another person's dirty feet. A job only a servant would do. You see, in the Old Testament, Isaiah describes what kind of person that Jesus would be. He endured the suffering that should have been ours. The pain that we should have borne. Because of our sins, folks, he was wounded. He was beaten because of the evil that we do. He was treated harshly, and he endured it humbly. He never said a word. That's your servant king I'm talking about. There is no glory here. Just a suffering servant. You see, the king of glory was treated cruelly at the hands of his creation. He was mocked, he was whipped and nailed to a cross. He died a shameful death. He died a criminal. He allowed all of this to happen because of his love for you and for me. And folks, because of his desire that the relationship between God and humanity be restored. He died a servant meeting our greatest need. Forgiveness. Our greatest need was forgiveness of the sin that plagues every moment of our lives here on this earth. You see, being a servant was tough for Jesus. You see, I say that because so often we think, well, that's Jesus. He can do anything. But it was tough for him. You see, Satan was determined not to make it easy for him. Remember the temptations in the wilderness? The world didn't make it easy. You see, crowds wanted to make Jesus a king, and how tempting that must have been for him. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. We like to be noticed. We would love to be royalty. So if he was tempted like us, it had to be tough for him to do what he did, to turn that down, to be a servant king. Crowds wanted to make him that king. Jesus' own humanity didn't make it easy for him to be a servant. Remember, folks, his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, neither is it easy for us to be servants. In the garden, he was saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to die. That flesh didn't want to die on the cross. It didn't want to suffer all that pain. It didn't want to take the beating, been spit in the face, put the crown of thorns. He didn't want that. The flesh didn't. But he's a servant king. So we know it wasn't easy for him. It surely wasn't easy. It isn't easy for us to be servants. Paul says in the verse leading up to our text that we read here earlier, he said Philippians 2, 3 through 5, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You see, an attitude of humility and service is what Jesus had. You see, Paul here, folks, he's urging us to adopt an attitude of servanthood. And I hope, folks, as you're hearing me here today, you're not just pitching this back to your neighbor. Put your shovels down for a minute and let it settle. Say, Pastor, that's right, that is for me. I need to be more of a servant. Paul's urging us today to adopt a servant attitude. You see, as those who have benefited from Jesus shedding all of his power and glory to serve our needs, we are encouraged to be servants of Christ Jesus and to continue to carry on his ministry of service. We are the body of Christ. Just as Jesus has met us at our greatest point of need, so also, folks, we are encouraged to meet others at a point of their greatest need. Now, that might be the person who comes seeking assistance at a most inconvenient time. Or the telephone call with a plea for help that comes right in the middle of something we are doing, usually dinner. That request that seems beyond our ability or our capacity to handle. The job that is easy and will help someone, but we just don't want to do it. Again, being a servant is not easy. You see, it's part of our sinful nature to do things only if they have some side benefits for us. Come on. You see, we don't want to give up too much of ourselves away. After all, we have other responsibilities. Servanthood means just this. Helping and caring with a humility and a love that wants to serve others unselfishly. You know what Jesus said once in Matthew 20, 26 through 28, but among you, it will be different. Whosoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. This week, this is leading up to Easter. I want us to reflect on the way Jesus gave himself completely and wholly in service to us. We are in need. Our sin would condemn us. We were cut off from God, folks. And yet Jesus graciously suffered and died for us because he's a true servant. Live this week with a repentant heart. But be aware of the ways that we have failed being true servants to one another. We have failed each other at times. You see, our selfish attitude has grieved our God. So let's take the time to reflect on what it means to be a servant. And let's determine to tear down, folks, the barriers of pride and the barriers of self-concern. And help us, Lord God, to seek to humbly serve those points in people's lives where there is a need. And this week, take time to think about and stand before the cross and wonder. Do it in wonder. Do it with thanksgiving. Do it with praise. Praise God for the total and complete way that Jesus gave himself for you and me. And say, God, if you can do that, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. God, help me to have the mind, amen, that says, I want to be like Jesus. What Jesus did, that's what I want to do. Amen.